If I was to give this a title this morning, I probably would entitle it From Rags to Riches. We all know Winston Churchill. Prime Minister many years ago, Winston Churchill gave many a speech. What a man he was. But the last speech, I believe, that Winston Churchill gave in the House of Commons. And as he gave the speech in the House of Commons, they listened to him very intently to what he had to say. And at the end of his speech, he said these words. He said, "Never flinch, never weary, and never despair." And those were words of encouragement for the country. Never flinch, never weary, never despair. And as we come to the passage of God's word this morning that I have chosen in Ephesians, Paul, we know, wrote many letters. Paul was a man that encouraged people throughout his ministry. He wrote many letters to the believers, and to put it in context, he's writing here to those that are in Christ Jesus. And he writes to lift them and to lift them and to praise the God of heaven and the God of glory for what he has done and what he has given his people in Christ Jesus. And that's what Paul's doing. He's writing to encourage the Christian believers at Ephesus. Sometimes in life it's good to take a step back. We often hear it. Sometimes it's good to come to the side and just to take a look back on our life and just to see where we're at, to assess things anew and to see where each one of us is at. And I think when Paul was writing here, he wanted to uplift God's people and to praise God for what he'd done for each and every one of them. And as we go through this portion of Scripture this morning, that's what I want you to do, dear believer, just to take upon your mind what Christ has did for you and I to save us from our sins and the blessings we have in Christ Jesus. And that's the title I would use, From Rags to Riches. It says there in verse 4, says these words, "According as he has chosen us in him." What a blessing that is to start with this morning, that God has chosen a people unto himself. Right before the very creation of the world, God chose you and I. Psalm 139 and verse 16, and it says these words, "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet been unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." You see, before God created anything, he had us on his mind. On his very mind you and I were. And thank God that he saw in the future what was going to happen. We're chosen in Christ. What a privilege it is for the believer. But I want to ask the question this morning. Who are God's chosen people? Who are they? I believe this morning it's for the whosoever. For the whosoever. John 3:16. We probably all could quote the words without ever turning up the page in the Bible. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." You see, there it is indeed, friend. Let me ask you this morning, first of all, can you put your name in that verse? It would read like this: "For God so loved George Graham, Billy, Mary." You see, my friend, have you your name in the verse? And that's a little challenge this morning for maybe some dear soul that has never came to trust Christ. It is for the whosoever will come. God died for that people, that chosen people unto himself. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But tell me this morning, dear friends. Will all come? Will all come to the Saviour? No, they won't. That is evident when you look around the world today and you see half the things that's going on. People that are in a lost eternity because they never came to faith in Christ. Remember Lot's wife, that's one example. And God said, I am going to destroy that wicked city, because man obviously had turned his back on the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't want to know God, and God said, you know, he warned the people, he says, come out, he says, I'm going to destroy the city. But what did Lot's wife do? My friend, listen, she looked back. She looked back, and she was lost. Could that describe someone this morning? Maybe you're taking your eyes off the things of God. Maybe your eyes are fixed on the things that this old world will have to offer. And my, there's plenty of attractions within the world today. Maybe you're looking to the things of the world that'll take you to a lost eternity. You see, she was lost. Remember Pharaoh. How that Pharaoh hardened his heart against God. Could that describe someone this morning? Maybe because of circumstances, your heart is so hard against the things of God, and you've no time for the reading of God's word. You've no time for praising the Savior, because your heart's so hard, and you've heard the gospel time and time again, and yet your heart today is so hard. Remember King Agrippa. Remember Paul as he went in, and Paul witnessed to Agrippa. And what did King Agrippa say unto Paul? He says, Paul, he says, almost thou persuadest me. But you see, he never got there. And you and I never read in the Bible of him ever coming to faith in Christ. He says, Paul, I'm nearly there, you know. But some other convenient day I call. But let me say this, friend. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what another day may bring. Oh, friend, listen. If you're not saved this morning, please don't put it off. Please don't think that I'll come to you, Lord, some other convenient time. Because, my friend, you don't know. You could draw your last breath today. You don't know. None of us know. Some more convenient day I'll call. Thank God this morning, dear friend, if you have put your trust in him. You're chosen by him. Not only that, you're adopted. I read the story not so long ago of a young lad in America, Davian Navarre Henry, a young boy of 15 years of age. This young lad had been bounced about from foster home to foster home. His mother had him, he was born in jail. His mother had him in prison. He was taken away and he was from foster home to foster home all his life. Young boy of 15 years of age, and he was surfing the internet, and he found out that his mother had passed away. And here's a young lad, and all this young lad wanted was for to be taken in, for some family to love and to care for him. He got dressed one Sunday morning and they allowed he would go to church. Damien Devar Henry went to church and they allowed him a little bit of space, and he got up and he made the plea. He says, would somebody adopt me? Would somebody take me in? This young lad, you see, just wanted a family to care for him. Thank God, when you and I come to faith in him, he takes us in. Adopted under the family of God. Oh, what a privileged believer in Christ this morning you and I have. We're adopted. Chosen, adopted into his family. John, 1 John 3 and 2 says these words. It says, beloved, it says, now are we the sons of God. What a privilege. What a blessing is ours in Christ. You're loved by a heavenly Father. Chosen by him. Loved by him. But I want to ask, or I want to bring the thing this morning to this ear. How? How did he do it? Verse 5 says, by Jesus Christ. That's how he did it. That's how we're adopted. That brings me, my friend, this morning, listen to the very center of the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The good news is this, my dear friend, this morning. In the fullness of time, God sent his beloved Son to die at that center cross of Calvary for your sin and for my sin. That's the good news of the gospel this morning. We are saved by the grace of God because of the finished work of Calvary. There is no other way. We often quote the hymn, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. You see, friend, it's at the cross. You've got to come, and that's where you start. When you come as a sinner to Jesus at the cross, by Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:23 says these words, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. You see, the blood had to be shed to take away our sin. And thank God that's what he did. That's a simple message of the gospel. Sometimes men like to complicate it. But my friend, it's not. It's for you and me, the whosoever will come. Thank God we're covered by the blood. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. But thank God his blood washed me white as snow. We're a redeemed people through the precious blood of Jesus. Folks, this morning I want to say this here very sincerely. Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no forgiveness. And the Bible teaches that very clear to you and I. John 14 and verse 6, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the only way. But by me. Have you come that way this morning? I hope, and that's my prayer, and that's why I stand this morning in the pulpit. It's my prayer that you've put your faith in him. Because outside of that, there's nothing else. He is the only way that you and I can get to heaven. John Newton realized it. When he sang, later on he penned the lovely words, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. John Newton was a vile and sinful man, and absolutely no time for the things of God. But in the midst of a storm one night, John Newton, he thought that his life was going to end, and he realized that he wasn't ready to go, and he gave his life and he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he turned from his sin and he turned on to the Savior. And the Bible says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. And thank God, John Newton looked and he found that amazing grace in Christ. For by grace are you saved, the Bible says, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works. So many today, they rest upon their works. But you know, I'm not a bad person, and if I do this and X, Y, or Z, I gain favor with God. My friend, listen, good works will profit nothing. By the blood of Jesus Christ, thank God you're saved. and in Him alone. Dear Christian, this morning, listen, be encouraged with this, that God died for a people that whosoever will come, and thank God He's chose us in Him. He's adopted us. And thank God not only that, He's redeemed us in Him. I think it's at least 11 to 12 times in that chapter. It emphasizes so strongly in Him. In Him. In Him. You see, that takes it away from all else. There's not many ways to heaven. It's in Christ alone. We've got that real peace and that real joy. The world so often will throw so many things at us. And the pleasures in life and the attractions of the world. And man today, my friend, listen, is looking for a real peace in his heart. A real contentment. But you see, the world will never give it. But you know one thing, thank God the world will never take that peace away when you've trusted in Him. What a privilege is ours. Not only that, read verse 13. In Him, in whom we have trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. It says this here, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that spirit of promise. Thank God we're a sealed people. What a privilege is ours. It's sealed. It's so sure this morning. Thank God it's all in Him. We are sealed in Him. John chapter 10 and 28. This is what the Bible says. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither will any man pluck them out of my hand. We're going to sing very shortly that lovely hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. My friend, it's a sure thing. We're sealed. We're sealed in Him. I give unto them eternal life. What's the next bit? And they shall never perish. Thank God it's sealed for all eternity. Hebrews 13 and 5, it says this here. He says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. My friend, when God makes a promise, it'll stand through all eternity. All man will make promises, but you know man will break them. But thank God, when God says a thing, He means it. And what God says He will do, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And dear friend, this morning in this service, as you and I travel through life, we will go through many things. We'll be tested and we'll be tried. And there'll be times of sorrow and times of sickness. And many things will come. But what I want to say is this here, you've got a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Right to the very end, when you close your eyes in death, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. What a privilege we have to know that right to the day we close our eyes in death, that's sealed. I'll never leave. I'll never forsake. What a promise we have, child of God, this morning. You know, we should be very thankful people. Sometimes when you look at Christian faces, sometimes there's not much of a smile. An old preacher once said to me these words. He says, you know, we mightn't always be smiling outwardly, but the smile's within. For deep down in the heart, deep down in the very soul, we know we've got the peace. Sealed. My last thought is this morning. Our inheritance. What a privilege. What a privilege. Ed B. Smith, a preacher in America, and he tells a story of a very rich and wealthy man and his estate. He was a farmer. Now, there's not a lot of farmers today would say that they're rich the way things is going. But this man was so, so wealthy. He was so wealthy beyond anyone around him for miles. He had all the wealth and all the riches of this world's goods. But this old man, as he was coming to the end of the journey of life, and he was dying and he was passing on, so they gathered round the family and they gathered, even his neighbours came. And they tried to sing a hymn, but they couldn't sing it. And some of them tried to pray, but they found it hard to pray. And they sat with him right through the night, into the next morning. The old man was going very, very weak. One of his sons, he was trying to talk, and one of his sons came in, and he put his arms around him, and he lifted him up a little bit on the pillow. And he said, son, it's getting dark, he said, it's getting dark. Ah, but father, listen, it's daylight now. The night is past and it's daylight. But you see, he was passing through, coming to this valley of the shadow of death. And this is the words that the rich man said to his son. He said, son, he says, it's all a failure. It's all a failure. All the wealth and all that he had gained in life and all the riches, now he realized couldn't keep him. And as he comes to the end of his life, he said to his son, it's all a failure. And what I'm trying to say this morning, folks, listen, outside of Christ, it's all a failure. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Jesus will last. Riches, you're taken from them. The psalmist said, what is man's life? It is but a flower of the field. You see, we flourish for a time. But everything you see around you will fade away. And my friend, listen, as you and I live through time, we're fading too. But the blessing is in Christ this morning. Saved by the grace of God. Have you got him this morning? Can you say in your heart, yes, Jesus is mine. I am his and he is mine. I sing that song sometimes. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Thank God to be in him this morning. He chose us. We're adopted into the family of God. We're sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. And thank God what an inheritance you and I have got to look forward to. The riches of this old world matters not. It's what we have in Christ when you leave this scene of time. And thank God for the believer when he or she steps into the glory. Full glorification. When we stand in that great day in heaven. Oh, what a privilege will be ours. And we'll look upon the face of the one that was crucified for you and me. The one that died to take away our sin. Thank God, what a day. And we often sing it. That will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face. The one who saved me by his grace. What a day. What a glorious day. That will be. I want to quote one hymn as I finish. When I stand upon the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, not till then will I fully know just how great the debt I owe. Christian friend, this morning you and I owe a great debt to him. Him who loved us. Him who gave us all that we might have redemption. That we might have peace. We could never repay it. We should be so thankful this morning that we are in him. Could there be one this morning you've never trusted Christ? Then I urge you today, come to him. Thank God that he'll save you for time and for eternity. Dear Christian, be uplifted this morning. What we have in him far outweighs all the riches this whole world will give us. From rags to riches.